Tom Farley Jr. is the co-author, along with Tanner Colby, of The Chris Farley Show, a biography in three acts. It's an oral biography of the actor and comedian Chris Farley, who was a star on Saturday Night Live and in three straight number one hit movies. Farley died of the effects of substance abuse in 1997. He was 33. Tom Farley is also Chris Farley's older brother. Although Chris Farley's work can be considered frat comedy, he never belonged to a fraternity at Marquette, as Tom Farley explains.
They didn't have frats. They had a house that acted like an animal house, but yeah, Jesuit schools don't do the frat thing very well. But you got to understand that Chris didn't start drinking till he was halfway through 17, almost 18 years old, which was the legal drinking age here in Wisconsin at the time.
There's a bit in your book, when he started drinking, he went all the way.
It was noticeable.
10
right?
shots of tequila or something on the first night he ever tasted alcohol.
You can pinpoint the moment he started drinking, and it also you can pinpoint when it started to become a problem immediately. I mean, it was just that way. But, you know, Chris was funny for 17 years of his life without alcohol, and he wasn't as funny to be around and fun to be around when he was really in the heat of it in his college years. And then when he got to SNL and he found sobriety. When he found sobriety, he was back on top, and that's when he created all these amazing characters.
Now, as your father probably told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Now, let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about. First off, I am 35 years old. I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
Chris's humor was always very appealing to young men, and I guess you can see that. It's guy humor.
Totally.
Did it appeal to young women?
I saw this so many times. Again, I go back to this ability to communicate and connect to people using his humor. I illustrate that by talking about stand-up comedians who, when they're heckled from the crowd, you know, their natural human response is to get defensive and go right back at that person. Chris was not like that. He never used his humor destructively.
Except maybe toward himself. He was a very self-deprecating.
Oh, no question. Yeah, I see him so many times, you know, when we were in college at the local bar, and he'd walk up to a booth full of sorority girls, and, you know, one or two may have thought he was funny. There was always one girl that just didn't buy his humor at all. And instead of being, you know, defensive and cutting this person down, he was relentless, and he would, you know, hit the ground and do one-arm Rocky push-ups and pop back up and pull his shirt over his head. And all of a sudden, you just see the smirk come upon the girl's face. And it was just good-hearted. It was just goofy humor. And even girls would eventually come around and smirk. And once Chris saw that smirk, he was gone to the next booth. Yeah, you know, that's all he needed. He just needed that approval.
Some of that it's interesting hearing about it, because it sounds as though he was sort of in need of approval.
Oh, all the time, yeah.
And he was willing to be self-deprecating.
Well,
The Chippendales.
Chippendales, yeah. The book is
great. Saturday Night Live.
The book is great, talking about how the different analysis of that moment. And
Chris Rock, who hasn't seen it,
I mean, yeah, he's here. He is shirtless as a Chippendales dancer next to Patrick Swayze, who was just chiseled.
Right.
And
Chris wasn't chiseled.
No,
he's a little overweight at that.
As we called it early on in life, husky.
Barney, we all agreed that your dancing was great. Your presentation was very sexy. I guess in the end, we all thought that Adrian's body was just much, much better than yours.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh, okay.
You see, it's just that at Chippendales, our dancers have traditionally had that lean, muscular, healthy physique, like Adrian's. Whereas yours is, well, fat and flabby.
Right, right.
Do you remember the first time you saw that?
I was there at the show.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was there.
What'd you think?
I had seen that act, Chris play that act, since I was a kid. I mean, in our living room, when we were in college, you know, we'd be up at Northern Wisconsin. We were camp counselors in college. And, you know, we'd be out at night in the local tavern, and the band was there, and they'd go on break. The dance floor would clear off, and we'd look around, and there'd be Chris by himself with his shirt off, just doing this routine and just cracking us up. And so, I mean, you really can't define Chris in your terms. Chris Rock, you know, thought it was not the right thing for Chris to do, but...
Well, yeah, in the book, you quote Chris Rock as saying he thought that that was sad.
Yeah, he said an altogether Chris Farley would not have done that. And yet, if it was, you know, somewhat racial, would Chris Rock have done an act like that? Absolutely not. Chris Farley was willing to do that because, you know, that was his defense for years. On the playground, you had to be extremely quick to beat Chris to the punch by calling him fatso. Chris got it out of the way, and not only did he get it out, it was almost challenging to an adversary saying, all right, yeah, I'm fat, and now what are you going to say? It was almost, he had that Cyrano kind of, you know, what are you going to do now? And then he would, all of a sudden, this adversary who was declawed, he would start to make him laugh. And all of a sudden, this person that came at Chris with malice was laughing with him.
Yeah.
And it was incredible to see that, the ability for Chris to change that by this self-deprecating humor. Yeah. And it was...
I suppose. I mean, Chris Rock said, I think, and I've got the quote here, it was as though the joke said, we can't hire you because you're fat. Well, it's a funny thing in a way, isn't it? Because he got hired in part because he was fat.
Yeah.
And was willing to make fun of himself.
Sure.
For being fat.
Didn't think the suits would have me back, perhaps. Thought they'd have my derriere replaced by one of those cookie-cutter store mannequins. Well, maybe I'm not the norm. I'm not camera-friendly. I don't wear clothes that fit me. I'm not a heartbreaker. I haven't had sex with a woman. I don't know how that works. I guess I don't fall in line.
At one point in the book, you say, Chris could never be content with his professional success because he was living by Dad's barometer and not his own.
Dad gave us faith and this love of our culture and heritage and community here in Wisconsin and Madison. I mean, he really embodied that, all of that. And we, all of us, took that, and it's a big part of who we are. But there was something deeper with Chris and Dad. They both, you know, abused alcohol, and they were both quite large. And yet... You know, Dad was, all, you know, a large guy, and yet, you know, he was always impeccably dressed. He was, you know, always looked sharp, and we were always, and we revered him. He was so funny and so good. And yet we were always saying, Dad looks great. Doesn't he look great? And we were always avoiding that, this whole health issue that he had. And Chris, more than anybody, was there saying the same things. And it must have been, for somebody overweight himself, must have thought, well, how is Dad looking great? And I feel like I feel horrible. I mean, how can I trust people to, you know, to tell me I'm good when I've lived this life of, you know, the, I could so visually, you know, under the surface, you know, see that there isn't that truth.
He died in 1997?
Yeah, at the very end, December.
Do you remember? How did you learn of his death?
Wow. Yeah, I was living out in Connecticut at the time, and... was at a friend's, and we were talking about some business deals that we wanted to explore, and he had a TV on in his office, and CNN was on. It was muted, and I saw a clip from Chris and Spade, one of the movies, and I thought, oh, wow, what's Chris up to? You know, it was kind of, you know, that was life with, you know, a celebrity brother. It's like, you know, you learn on TV a lot of things, but... So I said, turn it up, let's see what's happening. And then it immediately went to, you know, outside his apartment with the ambulance, and they talk about, you know, it's almost like, did they just say Chris was dead? What? I didn't believe it. And I was listening to this, like, and my friend just kind of, you know, gave me the phone and said, you know,
call home.
Yeah, and I called, and as soon as, you know, my dad picked up the phone I heard his voice, and it was... That was it. I knew exactly. It came crashing home.
Yeah. Well, for your family, and the legacy has been in some ways recovery because there were other members of the family who were having trouble.
Yeah, you know, and for us, it wasn't really about addiction. It was just about, do we need this in our lives? And one by one, we all kind of addressed that.
Even your dad?
Even my father. My dad was the only one that decided to get sober after Chris had died. Every one of us before that, we saw the pain that alcohol was bringing to Chris and the people around him, but we also saw how successful Chris was without it in his life. It was that light bulb moment in all of us at different times that, you know, maybe I can be a little bit more successful if I didn't have this, you know, this weight around my ankles all the time. And so my mom was the first, you know, now it's been almost 20 years, I think, and Kevin, Johnny, and then myself. Yeah, I wish, you know, Chris had seen more times like that. Chris was 100% of the time. You know, just all the time.
What you see is what you get.
Except for when he was in the comfort zone of his faith or a few of those people that, you know, he always kept his Madison friends very close out in New York, a few of them from home. And in those few instances, he opened up. That was a whole different, and I saw it firsthand for myself when he was my best man at my wedding. Frightening as that was to me, he was my only choice. So here we were like seconds before, and we're kind of waiting for the show to start, and Chris has me in the sacristy in the back room of the church. I was so nervous, and he just had me in stitches, just putting me through jumping jacks and, you know, like a coach was, and he was, you know, giving me this whole, like it was a football game. And then we walked out onto the altar, and the guy just changed. He just had this pious look. And I remember looking at him like, you know, wow, what happened there? I mean, and
who's
I,
this?
And he, yeah, it's like, who is this guy? And he got me to go the same direction. You know, he totally loosened me up, and then he had me in the mindset of this, you know, religious ceremony. It was like, that was Chris. That was totally Chris.
If only.
Well, you know, the beauty of this book is that, again, I knew that I couldn't survive on the clips from SNL. I say it in the book, you know, right after Chris died, I looked at my wife, and my biggest fear was being 60 years old and trying to remember who this kid was that was my little brother. You know, Matt Foley wasn't going to do it for me. That's why I love this book, and I love it because it's not just me, it's all these voices, and they've given me this picture of Chris, and all of us, really, this picture of Chris that is the real deal. That's him.
I think we've got time for one more question. Hey, remember when you were in the Beatles and you did that album, Abbey Road, and at the very end of the song, song it goes, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. You remember that?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, Chris. In my experience, it is. I find the more you give, the more you get.
It's a clip of Chris Farley with Paul McCartney from Saturday Night Live. Tom Farley Jr. is Chris Farley's older brother. Tom Farley is also the co-author, along with Tanner Colby, of The Chris Farley Show, a biography in three acts. Tom Farley is the president and managing director of the Chris Farley Foundation. It educates young people about substance abuse and addiction. You can find a link to the Chris Farley Foundation's website on our website at ttbook.org.